Sinné. How on earth do you follow that at all? But it is really a privilege for me at 60 that I'm still standing and breathing for the young people. You still do that when you're 60, believe it or not. But it's really a privilege for me to be pastor of Open Arms Church. It really is. I am always absolutely amazed that God would allow me to do this job. I never take it for granted. Never one moment in my life have I ever taken it for granted. So I know it is a privilege and it is a great honor, but it is for a very short period of time, and I'm also very aware. But thank you for all of your love, your support, your prayers. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Now remember, June O'Neill, her birthday is today, mine is tomorrow. So that means I'm a day younger than June O'Neill. Isn't that very good? Yeah, somewhat. So just work that one out for yourself, girls, right? No cackling from the audience, please. So this is our final week in our series titled What a Beautiful Name, right? Begin the series. And the purpose of this series is to come back to Jesus. And I know that we love outreach, we love our young people, we love discipleship, we love all the things of church life. But the basis, the foundation, the beginning, the middle, the end, has to be about Jesus. It really does. And so my prayer over those last number of weeks as we talked about, especially Jesus as the Good Shepherd, is that you would know his love more and that you would in return love him more. I mean, that is our desire. Remember, we love him because he first loved us. So that movement of love. But that is our desire, and that's where we want to continue as a church. So today is the final message, and the title is Jesus is Coming Again. It's not over. Yeah. This ain't the end. It is not the end. We read a lot in Scripture. Let me read from Acts 1, 9 to 11. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men, dressed in white, stood beside him. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So out of the 27 books of the New Testament, 23 books talk about Jesus coming back again. So obviously it's important. There's over 300 scriptures alone in the New Testament talk about Jesus coming back. So I've got three basic points this morning to look at the return of Christ. How will he return? Number one, he will come unexpectedly. Matthew 24:3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us," they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus laid out a lot of signs about the second coming of Christ. And then he said in verse 36, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." So we don't quite know. But from reading Scripture, and especially Matthew 24, there are certain things that have to be in place before the return of Christ. Jesus said that there will be wars, there will be famines, there will be an increase of earthquakes. But perhaps the final sign is the most important one. And so, if you go to on the internet, listen to TV, read various books, you'll have all people saying that this is the return. The other day when I was studying this, 2045 is Jesus going to return, and this is why, right? Give you 20 reasons. And everyone seems to know. But we know that there is one last condition that has to be in place. The gospel has to be preached to the entire world. And not only the world, but the nations of the world. And that word nation means people groups. Now, there are several hundred nations or countries, but there are over in excess of 2,000 nations, right? People groups. And the gospel has to be preached to every single one of them before Christ's return can even begin to happen. But some things have happened over the last number of years. What's this little thing here? You could call it a phone, or you could call it a computer, all right? So I get all my emails. I can Google, Mr. Google, the biggest library in the entire universe, right? But what has happened is that there's more power in this little phone, and I think that's a 6, or is it a 5 or a 6? I think it's a 6. But there's more power in this little phone now than there was in all of the computers that put the first man on the moon. Isn't that amazing? When I heard that person, I said, nah. But it's actually true. It's actually, there's enough technology and power and internet access to put a man on the moon with this. It's really amazing. So never before have we been in a position technologically, right, to advance the kingdom of God. And some people say, but I don't like the phones and I don't like the internet. But the minute it becomes into our use, it becomes good. It's like money. You know, people say, the love of money is the root of all evil. Yeah, but not money. Because the minute a tenner comes in my hand and I want to use it for the kingdom, it becomes good. So it depends on who the user and the motivation is. So basically, though, we live in unprecedented times. And you see that little globe up there? That's where we live, isn't it? That's our earth. And after the last referendum, and probably if you've been listening to TV all week, and if you listen to the pundits and say, Christianity is on the decline. The church has been destroyed in Ireland. The church is in decline all the world around. You'll even hear statements, and I've heard this, fact in BBC, Sky News, that if something doesn't change by 2025, that the entire world will become Muslim. So I began to look at the facts, and I came across a great website, and these are facts all from 2015. So let me tell you what's happening. Christianity is the single fastest growing religion in the entire world. The number of people who are being presented with the plan of salvation is at least 260,000 people a day. Every day, the average number added to the body of Christ worldwide is about 174,000 people. There are 3,500 new churches opening every single week across the globe. Our annual growth rate of church planting is presently at more than 8% per year, and we only need to make it 11% to allow us to place a Christian church in every community in the entire world. Singapore had it's after having a 10% increase of those who have come to know Christ in the last 10 years. In 1980s, 10% of Korea and 10% of Chile turned to Christ, and over 10% in Indonesia. The largest Muslim country in the world, Indonesia, is now in excess of 25,000 or 25% Christian. Isn't that amazing? Over a quarter of their entire population. Considering the growth rate then of world religious blocs, Christianity is by far the fastest growing religion in the world. The total population for the world increase, that's by population, is 1.72% annually. Buddhism is growing at a rate of 1.7%. Nominal Christians at a rate of 2.2%. Hindus, 2.3%. Muslims, 2.7%. The non-religious by 2.8%. But Bible-believing evangelical Christians are growing at a rate of 6.9% per annum. Come on. So do you hear all the lies and all the rubbish that you hear? If you put Bible-believing Christians 6.9 with nominal, we have minimum three times more than the non-religious or three times more than Muslims. So it's a lie. Muslims are not taking over the world. Christians are joining and expanding the kingdom of God. We are not the tail, we are the head. Christianity is on the increase right around the world. True Christianity has grown by more than 300 million believers in the past 10 years. About 10 million of these come from North America and Europe, but the rest, 290 million, are from developing countries like Nigeria, Argentina, India, and China. Over 700 million people in 220 countries have seen the film Jesus, with 41 million indicating a commitment to Jesus Christ and follow-up Bible study. After 70 years of oppression in the Soviet Union, Christians number about 100 million people, five times the number of the Communist Party at the height of its popularity and 36% of the total population. Isn't it a wonder how God can turn stuff where God was not allowed, where you would have been jailed and sent off to prison for believing God? Now, 36% of the entire nation know Jesus as the Lord. It says that more than 15,000 public school teachers are now teaching morals from the Bible and the life of Christ in their classes all over Russia. In Central Asia, a church planted in Uzbekistan just 4 years ago had grown to 3,000 members and had planted 55 other congregations. Mongolia, which had no church all the way up to 1991, has now more than 3,000 believers in 17 congregations. And the Mongolese have sent their first missionary to work with Operation Mobilization in India. In Nepal, the world's only official Hindu country, over 100,000 Hindus have met Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior in the past 20 years. Every month, another 15,000 in India are baptized as new believers in Christ. In India, there is one pastor for every seven churches. In Sudan, the ratio is 1 to 12. In China, there are more than 80 million evangelical believers, growing at a rate five times that of the general population. Over 30,000 conversions a day take place in China alone. 30,000 conversions every single day. Imagine. Population there in China is 1.4 billion. Imagine. Imagine they're going to have 30, 40, 50% of the population. It's going to change the entire nation. And in just a two-year period, 30,000 Chinese Zaks gave their lives to Christ in just 2 years. It all started with the showing of the Jesus film and a small team who went in and did one-to-one with those people. In the 1900s, Korea had no evangelical church, and it was deemed impossible to penetrate. Today, six new churches open every single day in South Korea. And it is the site of nine of the world's largest churches. Now, we can have quite a crowd in here, right? But this church is 800,000 strong. 800,000 members in the church. Today, Korea is 30% Christian, with 7,000 churches in Seoul alone. Millions of Buddhists have come to know Christ. In 1982, there were 321 Korean Christian missionaries. By 1992, that number had grown to 2,576. Isn't that amazing? On May the 25th, 1995, the South Korean church dedicated 105,000 young people to go and serve on missions. 105,000 people in missions. Another 3,000 Korean missionaries are now being trained to go into China. The 1 million Koreans who are in North China, in what the Koreans called the Kiramsong area, are experiencing revival. In the last couple of years, in excess of 100,000 people have come to know Christ. Latin America has over 400 million people, right? More than 50 million have become evangelical Christians. And by the end of this decade, a majority of the people in Brazil, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador will be evangelical believers. Chile, Costa Rica, and Bolivia right now have 40% Bible-believing evangelical Christians. It's mid. I was in Bolivia 8 years ago. At that time, it was somewhere around 35 to 38% of the population came to know the Lord. The church I went to with Steve Williams asked people not to come to church. Said, please stay home, turn on your TV, and we're going to televise it because the place is packed. And they had one and two and three and four services. And what to do? To have connect groups. But at the end of every Sunday service, they asked the people who were evangelizing out in the street. So imagine down in the main street, down in the shopping mall, primarily by young people. They brought in, the day I was there, about 400 people who just had come to know the Christ that very, within an hour of that day. And they brought them in and they prayed for them and got them into connect groups and says, don't come to church next Sunday, stay in your connect group, watch on TV. It's actually happening. It's amazing. And this, now, the question is, I'm reading, I've got more. Why can't God do that in Ireland? So there's no reason. So he will do this in Ireland. And that's what we have to be ready. Already, Mexico's population is more than 35% evangelical. In Latin America, 34,000 believers are added to the church every day. Every day. Puerto Rico now has the highest number of evangelicals per square mile of any country in the world. Of the country's 3.5 million people, 1 million are evangelicals. There's 7,000 churches, 10,000 pastors, 9 Christian TV stations, 13 Christian radio stations, 130 Christian schools, and 350 Christian community centers. And more than 1,000 Puerto Rican young people are now training to go as missions into the Muslim areas. In Brazil, 100 years ago, there was no evangelicals. In 1980, there was about 12 million. By 1995, that number had increased to more than 40 million, with more than 80,000 churches, 150 radio stations, and the number is expected to reach 50 million by the year of 2020. Amazing. And we're part of this. We're part of the kingdom of God. At least 5 new evangelical churches open every single week in Rio de Janeiro. Church growth countrywide has reached over 5,000 new churches annually. One church, which is just 16 years old, has 14 Christian radio stations, 4 TV stations, and 6 million members. 6 million members. In Buenos Aires, Argentina, the church called, whatever it is, it means Waves of Love and Peace, attract 225,000 people each week. Services take place daily. So if you're volunteering in Open Arms, just listen. Services take place daily in a converted movie theater from 9 in the morning until midnight. And every month, another 3,000 people are baptized. Wow. God is beginning. In Africa, which is a population of 1.2 billion, the church is on fire. It's the first continent to become the majority Christian, which is in excess of 50%, in a single century. Over 25,000 new believers per day mark the growth of the church. In a single summer in Mombasa, Kenya, in East Africa, 56,000 Muslims came to faith in Christ. In one baptismal service in the ocean on the coast of Angola in southern Africa, 10,000 people were baptized in one go. 10,000 people. Wow. That was a big tank, wasn't it? In a six-year period in one Muslim country, 2 million Muslims came to Christ. And missionaries to dozens of Muslim people groups are planting small churches of former Muslims worldwide. More Muslims in Iran have come to know Christ since 1980 than in the previous 1,000 years combined. Before Khomeini's revolution in 1979, there was about 2,000. After years of intensified persecution, they're now in excess of 15,000 people. Do you know when we used to study in Bible college persecution? It equaled revival. Always equals revival. There's a seminary in Indonesia. So if you're going to Bible college or discipleship school, you'll like this one. But in order to graduate that seminary, you have to plant a church and lead at least 15 Muslim people to faith in Christ. In the past 6 years, these students have started 600 churches and seen 40,000 Muslims come to Jesus Christ. The government of Papua New Guinea recently mandated Bible teaching in every school in the country. In October 1993, the Philippines together were solemnly consecrated to Jesus in a massive rally in a grandstand in the park of Manila, and it attended 1 million believers. Prayer groups are getting big too. More than 2.5 million people gathered at one time in the plaza in Seoul, Korea, the largest face-to-face meeting of humanity on earth. Guys, we belong to the body of Christ. We are His bride. We are not in the minority. We are not diminishing. We are growing and increasing. And what God did over there and down there and up there, He can do here. And our job, our role, is to keep loving, to keep serving, to keep being faithful, and keep reaching out to the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But do not believe the news when it says that the church is diminishing. Do not believe the naysayers who says Christianity is in decline. It is not in decline. It's on the increase. We're the head, not the tail. And our prayer, our job, since the day I came to know Jesus, said, Lord, give us Ireland. Give us Ireland, and why not? If He can do it there, He can do it here. He can do it here. And that's our job, our passion, everything about. And the source for all that came from a site called Global Evangelical Movement 2015. Second point is not as long. Why is He coming back? Why is Jesus coming back? So we know this. We know this part. Look at it. He left His place to come to my place, to take my place, to bring me back to His place. You know why He's coming back? To take me back to His place. Jesus is coming back for us. He's coming back for us. Jesus is returning for His bride that's beautifully adorned. Jesus is coming back for you and for me. Jesus wants to come back for you, me, and our families, and our friends, and our colleagues, and everybody that we know. He desires that, that not one would be lost. That is his desire. That's his passion. That's why he came to earth the first time, to die on the cross, that not one would be lost. But he's coming back for you. Isn't that amazing? He's coming back for me and for you, and he's going to bring us to heaven with him. Let me read this scripture from John 14:3. It says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be with me where I am." So he's bringing us back to his place. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Perhaps you hear this at funerals, but I want to tell you, ain't no funeral. You hear this in the living church. It says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Forever. That's a long time. That's a long, long time. Jesus is coming back. And where he's bringing us to is that place called heaven. And we know in heaven there's no pain, there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no funerals, there's no disappointments, no broken dreams, no depression or anxiety, no gray clouds, no rain, and no taxes. Hallelujah. That must be. That has to be heaven. That has to be heaven. And he's bringing us back to that place. And the third point, this is a point we don't like. He will come to judge. He will come to judge the living and the dead. And our author reaction is, "Don't judge me." But the King of Kings will come to judge. Let me read 2 Thessalonians 1. It says, "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you." Isn't that good? You don't need to pay back. Leave it to him. "And give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have been believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you." Two things are going to happen. If you know Jesus today, Jesus will come back and you will be judged for honor. You'll be judged for glory. If you do not know Jesus, you will be judged for your sin. And that's a very sobering thought. It really, really is. You don't often hear me on this subject. You don't often hear. But you know, one of the reasons that I have a passion to reach people, I want them to go to heaven. I do not want them to spend eternity without God, and that place is called hell. You know, some people say all the good parties and all the sessions are going to be in hell. No, they're not. What's going to be in hell is all of the misery and all of the pain and all of the sickness and all of the heartache, and you're going to shake it up like a bottle of Coke, and that's where it's going to be. But the crack, the fun, the laughter, the rejoicing is going to be in heaven. And I don't know about you, but as for me and my family, that's where we're going. As for me and my family, that's where we're going. And our desire as a church is that your family would go there too. I do not want to arrive at heaven not having given everybody within my circle of influence the opportunity. I can't save a person, I can't convert a person, but I can certainly point him in the direction of the person called Jesus. That's our job. And we've looked over the last number of weeks, right, at what a beautiful name. We looked at Jesus, who is our good shepherd, who looks out for us. Jesus, who will leave the 99 to track us down, and not to beat us and not to correct us, but to embrace us with his love, with his grace, with his mercy, with his goodness, with his kindness, to bring us back home. That is the message of the gospel, and that's why we want so many people to come to know Christ. So, since he is coming again then, 2 Timothy 4:1, let me finish this section. It says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. So I want to give you a charge of three things. A, what's the first charge? Reach people. Guys, that's what it must be. Reach people. Jude 1:22. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. What's the one thing you find? You know, most churches, and this is just statistically, go into decline after 15 years. Did you know that? I do a lot of stats in church planting. Do church planting classes. Most churches, after 15 years, go into decline. And the reason is that people lose their passion for reaching lost people. Yeah. You get tired. But I've invited Mary 20 times. She skips in, though. You know, I invited John. And will you come to church? Will you come to the grace? No. But I want to tell you, what happens is we can come to a place and you can get a little tired, you can get a little weary. And that's what we have to be reminded. There is heaven and there is hell. I want to tell you. See, I didn't take up this job because I had nothing to do. People say, well, why did you start doing this? We didn't start doing this with a crowd. We started with two. But we didn't do it because we needed something to do. We didn't need it because we needed an income or a job. I had my own company. We were quite well off. We did it because God put a burden for people who didn't know Jesus on our hearts. We do not want one person to be lost. Now, I can't save them, but what I can do is to say, I don't want one person not to hear the gospel. Now, that's my part. That's my part. How they respond is between them and God. But we have to get back to a place. And I'm constantly saying, God, will you stir my heart again? Will you give me a passion again? Will you light a fire in me again that I will not be satisfied? That I'll not. Why did we plant a church in Dublin? Because we had nothing to do? Come on, guys. Why are we going to plant a church in Nice in the next couple of years? Because we've nothing to do? Why are we going to plant in Carlow and plant all over the place? Because we've nothing to do? No, it's because we need to reach Ireland with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it has to be a burden that's in within our hearts. And I'm praying that God will give us together, there's no point in me just having it, a burden. And we have a great opportunity. On the 17th of June, we're doing Father's Day. And I know I've invited Johnny and Patty and Mary and everything else, and they say, I'm busy, I'm going away, I'm playing golf, my son is in rugby, you know all the stuff. In other words, buzz off, they would say, right? But what I want to say to them is, hey, Father's Day, free burger, free sausage, free can, come, because this is what we're going to do. What we're going to do, if you bring a guest with you on the 17th, we're going to pay for their burger, we're going to pay for their meal. So if you bring two people, it's free. You got to pay for yourself. It's a fiver, all right? But can, okay, I don't want you to come to, just come and have a burger. That's all. And what we're going to do is we're going to have two messages, right? We're going to have one that's really aimed at fathers, and we're talking about fathers, and we're going to have another message as well. And we're going to set it up in such a way that people can actually hear. That's just hear. That's all. We won't embarrass them, but they can come, they can hear the message, they're going to like the worship anyway, they're going to like the tea and coffee, and they're going to love the burger and the sausage and the free can. I mean, come on, what an opportunity. So I want to encourage you, get back again, get back praying for that person again. Invite them again. And if you, I want to tell you, invite 10, invite 20. If one comes to you and says, praise God, that's good. Because people are desperate for the gospel, they just don't know it yet. People in Ireland want to get saved, they just don't know it yet. Can you hear me? People are desperate. Because I believe that God is doing something, and whatever he has done in our church in the last 22 years, can I just tell you? He is going to multiply by 10 and 100 and 1,000-fold over the next 10 years. Guys, we got to be ready. So I want to encourage you, get back to those people you're praying with. Ask God, who is in the circuit of my influence? You've got families, you've got neighbors, you've got friends, you've got colleagues. You know, people. Maybe when I go to Dun sometimes I see the same person in the same till. You know, you don't have to know them that well. Just, you know their face. Invite them to church. Say, I want to invite you to church. I want you to come for a free barbecue. I want you to come and listen to our music. I want you to come and hear some stories. And what's the worst thing they can say? No, thanks. Honestly, that's the worst thing they'll ever say. But you will be shocked and surprised by how many will say, I'll give it a go. And here's my recommendation. Don't just invite them and say, come on to 17 and see your church. I will pick you up. I will give you a lift to church. I will bring you to church. We will sit at the barbecue together. I will look after you and take care of you. Because it can be a bit daunting. Coming into a building, it can be a bit daunting. So stay with them. Look after them. Sit beside them. Give them a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. And allow them, perhaps for the first time, to hear the gospel. Honestly, that's what it's about. And then they make their choice. And welcome them. Don't be pushy with them. Be nice and kind to them. But let them make up their own minds. And B, stay focused on eternity. I think this is really important. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. But what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Really important. I love having my birthday today, right? Elizabeth bought me a new shirt. Sean bought me a new what's that called? Waistcoat. A new waistcoat, whatever it is. Grand. Huh? Short-term memory loss, I know. That was a bit low, and I'll have to say. That was a bit low, okay? There'll be payback for that. That was a bit low, though. Today is my birthday, imagine. Not even my birthday. Even though I'm a day younger than June O'Neill, but that's okay. So I love this. I like nice food. I like going on holiday. I like when the sun shines. I like all of that. But this doesn't last till eternity, guys. Can I tell you? This is not eternity. There is more to follow. There really is. So don't make all your investment on this earth. Start investing something into heaven. Start investing something with your friends and your family and your colleagues into heaven. Make an investment in someone's life that's going to change their eternity. It really, really is important that you do that. And finally, point C, be ready. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So I want to finish with this. I want to finish with giving you an opportunity right here, right now, of changing your eternity. Wow. Come on. Is it that big? 26 years, 8 months, and 10 days. Am I right, Rosie? Okay. I didn't realize how it would change my eternity, but I knew I needed a Savior. My heart was broken. I hated myself. I was filled with guilt. I was filled with shame. And I had no way forward. I didn't know where to go. Counselors couldn't tell me. Doctors couldn't tell me. My friends couldn't tell me. No one had the solution. But when I invited Jesus into my life, he resolved everything in my life. He really did. He changed my heart. He changed my marriage. He took out hopelessness. He took out despair, and he put hope in there. He really did. He took out a lot of deep sadness and put joy in there. He put purpose in there. He did all that. Now, he did 99% of the work, but there was one thing I had to do. And in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 3:20, God gives us the picture, and this is the part. He says, behold, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If you hear my voice and if you open the door, I will come in and be with you and you with me. But you got to open the door. Now, I didn't know that. I say about that scripture and about coming to know Jesus is the best kept secret in Ireland. Really. I thought you grew up, you went to Mass, you went to church, you did whatever you did, you paid your taxes, look after yourself, and showing to be grand. I did not know that Jesus was knocking on the door of my heart. And all I had to do was open my heart and say, Jesus, come in. I mean, really. And when he did, he changed everything. He really did. And that's why I'm amazed. At the age of almost 60. I It's not midnight yet. Is that God has allowed me to live the life over the last almost 27 years. I'm amazed. Amazed. And grateful and thankful. But you too can make that decision today. And back then, all I said was, this is what I said in essence. Oh, maybe you can do something with my life, because up to now, it hasn't worked out too well for me. Really, that was the essence of my prayer. And I said something like this. I said, Jesus, I give you my life. Please take it and make something worthy of it. Make something of it. And he did. And if you're here today, and you've heard maybe in the welcome on the way in, maybe something in the music, something I've said, something I've read, something that it seems to be that like God is tugging at your heart. That's what it is. He's after you. And when he catches you, he wants to forgive you and cleanse you and love you. Be your shepherd. That's what he desires. That's what he wants. So if you want to bow your head, and we're going to bring this to conclusion right now. And if you say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. If that's your decision, I want to give you the opportunity just to respond to him. I'm not going to ask you to respond to me. Just respond to him. What I'm going to do is I'm going in a few moments, I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I want you just to put up your hand and say, Jesus, that's me. That's me. And then I'm going to pray. Okay, so if you're ready and you're here, when I count to three, just slip up your hand. And in your own heart, you can say, Jesus, that's me. So one, two, three, right now. If you want to slip up your hand, say, Jesus, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you at the back. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. Anyone else? You're not on your own. Several people have put up their hands. So you're not. Sometimes we think I'm the only one. You're not the only one. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay, just put down your hand and let's pray. Let's pray together. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe you were raised on the third day. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to take my life and make something of it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take my guilt. Lord, take my everything. And give me yourself. Your life. Your purpose. Your passion. And with your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give the Lord an applause.